At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. This week's theme is mailbag, so I'm going to be answering some questions. Thank you guys who submitted questions, whether it was on Instagram or via email. You guys asked some great questions, and I'm going to go through and get through as many as I can. And then if I have a lot more, which I'm sure I will, I'll answer those maybe in like a YouTube video or one of my maternity leave podcast episodes. So the first one was along the lines of what I already answered on the bonus episode about balance, but it was a particular part of this question I wanted to continue and elaborate on, where she asked about balancing your roles while not losing yourself, this particular piece. Now, this is something I wanted to touch on because I believe that a couple decisions that I've made over time have put me in a position to where I haven't lost myself in my roles, but I do think there are some decisions that I didn't make well that have allowed me to just really exist outside of my responsibilities. So the first thing that I'll say what I did well, one of my biggest things prior to getting married, prior to having children, was I didn't want to get married first. I didn't want to get married without already having something established on my own. So when I met my husband, I had already had a business. I already had the podcast. I was already building a brand for myself. That was very, very important for me because I didn't want my adulthood identity to be wrapped up in being somebody's wife. I didn't want to get lost in that role. And so for my young mind, I mean, I met my husband when I was 24. So in my young mind, my thought process was, okay, I have to have something established before I get married because I don't want to lose myself in that. And I do believe having things established for myself, having the podcast, building my brand, all of that really put me in a great position to where I had things going on outside of my marriage. Then when it came to motherhood, I did not want to have children until my business was in a position where it was making predictable income because I didn't want to feel the pressure to show up in my business just to make money. I just didn't want that to happen. I wanted to be able to focus completely on this new role of motherhood and my child and how my family is going to adjust to that. And I think that that was a really, really great decision that I made because when I did have my first child, I wasn't worried about money in my business. Also, who I married was very important because I told my husband from day one, like, I am enterprising, I am ambitious, I am entrepreneurial, I got a work ethic out of this world. But I need to marry somebody who's a provider, because if at any point I decide that I no longer want to work and I just want to take care of my family, or I just want to do whatever that's not necessarily tied to an income, I want the freedom to be able to do that. And I want a husband that's going to be a provider and that's going to be okay with that. And thank God that's what I have, but also that's what I was looking for. I think those decisions put me in a really, really good position prior to having these roles and responsibilities. And I wanted to touch on that because there are many of you guys who are not married yet, who don't have children yet. And I just wanted to share that with you because social media can romanticize things so much to where we really don't take the time to understand the totality that goes into the things that we say we want. We don't take the time to understand all that goes into having a healthy marriage, all that goes into having a healthy family unit, all that goes into raising healthy and kind children. It takes a lot of intentionality, and it's very easy to lose yourself in that. That's why it happens so many times. So for those of you guys who want those things for your life, I would say just think about what will make that a little bit easier. And that's what I was thinking about in my early 20s. And I made my decisions accordingly. And I think that really helped me maintain my identity once I stepped into these new roles. Now, something I didn't do that I wish I did was prioritize more me just existing as myself outside of those responsibilities, right? So I know who I am. I love myself, and I'm grateful for God for that confidence and that certainty and assurance about who I am. But because I have been so invested in all of the things I have going on, and that's just my personality, I'm an intentional person. I pay attention a lot. I observe way more than I speak. I'm always just paying attention to details and self-evaluating and working on things I think it can improve to make me better. So sometimes I get caught up so much in that I just don't embrace living lightly and just existing as who I am outside of those roles. So, for example, taking on hobbies, doing things that I enjoy just because I enjoy them without them having a goal or purpose attached to them or anything deep attached to them. I don't think I've done a good enough job of that. And that's something that I'm now trying to do better with, figuring out, okay, what is going to be just something that makes Tatum happy? What is going to be something that is mindless, that's just fun. And it don't got nothing deep attached to it or nothing major attached to it. I don't think I did a good job of that. Something I used to love when I was growing up was dancing. I was on the dance team in high school. I danced through college. I danced a little bit when I first graduated, but I stepped away from that to go head first into business. And I wish I would have kept that, because that was something that just brought me joy without any big goals or purpose or anything deep, like I said, attached to it. Now, child, the way these knees are set up, I might get back into it. We'll see. But man, the way these knees are set up right now, over 30, I ain't got them Meg knees no more. So I don't know what I'm finna be doing in these dance classes. I feel like I don't even have rhythm no more. It's been so long, but that's something that I wish I didn't give up. So for you to not lose yourself, I would say find that pocket of just what brings you joy. And if you have it already, be intentional about not losing it and not putting it down and sacrificing it for whatever the goal may be. Hold on to it. And that goes along too with what we were talking about in the last episode of protecting your priorities. Make this a priority. Like me existing and operating outside of my responsibilities is a priority. So how can I protect that? That's something that we had to do, my husband and I, this year, where we got selected by our pastors to be ordained and within our church. And my husband and I sat down one day and we were just like, we don't think that this is the right time for that. Of course, it's a great honor to be selected by your leaders to be leaders. Of course, it's a great honor that God deems you worthy to serve his people in a leadership capacity. Like, I take that very seriously. But looking at the season that we're in as a family, it just simply wasn't the right time. A huge priority for me is existing outside of my responsibilities right now. But adding a new responsibility on top of already about to enter into a new responsibility of having another baby, it just was not the right time. And so my husband and I had to call our leaders and was like, listen, we love y'all. We love God way too much to show up as a stretch thin, sleep deprived individuals to not serve his people well because we have things going on in our own life. It's just simply not the right time. I don't want to do a disservice to the God that I love so much. And then also the ministry that I love so much. We just simply can't do it. And I thank God for great leadership because they understood and they were okay with that. But that was a big decision for myself and my husband, because if we were not prioritizing ourselves, we would have hopped right into it. And then it would have just led to a lot of frustration, being stretched thin and having something else to lose our identity into. So again, I can't stress enough the importance of making those tough decisions, saying no when you have to say no, to protect the priorities that you have. Switching gears, the next question is about business. So she says, hello, what are some things that need to be in place with starting a business with family? Now, if you're starting a business with friends or family, you need to have an operating agreement in place. For sure, 100%. Don't do it if you do not have an operating agreement in place. When I first became an entrepreneur, like back in 2015, I think it was 2015. And I had my youth program and I was doing it with someone else, a really good friend of mine at that time. Now, the business legally was mine. My name was on the EIN number. My name was on the business documents. So outside of us working together in the functions of the business legally belonged to me because I just simply wasn't willing to give that up because it was my idea. It was my passion project. It's what I wanted to do. Now, that benefited me because when our friendship ended and, you know, this person was no longer working with me in business, it really didn't change anything because it changed, of course, how I operated and what services I provided and things like that. It changed up some. But as far as like any mess legally, it was none because I own the business. And so that was, I believe, a smart decision with the information that I had at that time. Now, if I was to ever do business with family or friends again, it will always be an operation agreement in place. Always. What an operation agreement does is it allows you to outline the operations of your company. Who owns what? What happens in the case of death, divorce, or dissolution of this business? Who gets what? It just really outlines the details. When I started Anchored Media Studios, my aunt and I are co-founders and we're co-owners of the business. When we started this, my aunt is like a second mother to me. But still, we got to get this operating agreement in place. So we did an operating agreement. We did a separate business. We both own the studio 50-50. I still own Anchored Media 100%. We did an operating agreement that showed who owns what. Again, what happens in death, dissolution, or divorce. All of that is outlined within our operating agreement. Who gets paid what, when? It's outlined in our operating agreement. Who put up what financially and when? It's in our operating agreement.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. One of the most frustrating aspects of hiring is finding the right person. It takes a long time, and you really want to find the right person quickly so that you can start making the progress that you want to make on your business. If you're in a similar boat and you realize that your business needs to hire somebody yesterday and you want to know how you can find amazing candidates fast, easy, just use Indeed. When it comes to hiring, Indeed is all you need. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs helps you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so that you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. When I was hiring, the process was slow and overwhelming. I wish I had Indeed. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/blessed. Just go to Indeed.com/blessed right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/blessed. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by IXL. In my household, education is so important, and in summer, there's still no breaks. So whether your child is trying to catch up, stay sharp like we are, or get a head start for the fall, IXL can make learning a seamless part of the summer. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning, whether they're brushing up on math or diving into social studies. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies from pre-K through 12th grade with content that's engaging, personalized, and yes, actually fun. It's the perfect tool to keep learning going without making it feel like school. I am so excited to get started with IXL. My son is getting ready to go to kindergarten, and one of the tools that his school uses is IXL for Learning. And so we are so excited to dive in this summer to prepare him for the upcoming year. This program will improve your kids' grades. It will work for any of your kids. You save time and you save money, so don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com. Visit IXL.com to get the most effective learning platform out there at the best price.
All of these things are outlined. So there's no question. So whether we are in a good place or not a good place, it really doesn't even matter. It's all ironed out in the agreement. And it's a document that we worked on together with a lawyer. And that will remain the binding and operating document of our business together. So that's what I would tell you, is to have that in place and do that with a lawyer. For sure. So that someone is a third party and is able to make sure you guys have these tough conversations, and that the document is one that you are both cool with, or all of you, you didn't mention how many people in the family, but that all of you are okay with, you agree to before you sign. Now, this next question is also a business question, and it's a few. So she says, how do I pick a business bank account? Now, I'm old school when it comes to a lot of business stuff. I think that a lot of these newer folks who talk about business have all the tips, tricks, shortcuts. One of the things I don't think you should ever take a shortcut with is who you are trusting your money with. So when it comes to choosing a business bank account, I would look for banks with longevity, who've been out for and operating for a very, very long time, operating with integrity for a very long time. Check everything. Like, what do they have any scandals? Have they have a history of foolishness or whatever? Just really do your due diligence on the bank and their history. Also, take a look at some of the offerings that the bank has for small businesses. What's their relationship with businesses like? Do they have a lot of initiatives and programs that help small businesses in a different way? So whether it's building business credit or securing financing or lines of credit or whatever that may be, look at banks that really have taken a priority and a focus on assisting small businesses. So look, think about what you want to have in the future and what you may need for that, and choose a bank that seems the most aligned with that. Also, and most importantly, I would even go to the bank. Like, having a relationship with a banker is important. It could be very beneficial to you and what you're trying to do with your business. So I would even, if you're trying to narrow it down, I would even go into the bank and sit and talk to whoever works with businesses and ask them questions. Talk to them. You're building a relationship with this bank. This is the place where you're going to store your business money, and you want to trust that this is the best place to start that relationship. So go into the physical banks and have these conversations with the different bankers, and then make your decision based on that. The next question was about what accounting software would you recommend? So early on, I would say choose whatever accounting software allows, that's easy for you to operate and that allows you to be the most organized with your bookkeeping. Because at some point when you start making a certain amount of money, you're going to want to and need to have an accountant. And so the best thing that you can do earlier on, before you're in that stage to bring on a bookkeeper or an accountant, is to keep your books as organized as possible. separating, of course, your business from your personal account, making sure all of your transactions and things are accounted for, that you have proof and receipts and documentations for your transactions. All of those things, just keeping those detailed records, are important. I think the platform is more of a preference thing. So choose whichever one you can afford, and that's easy for you to operate and keep your books organized. What you can also do, and the guest that we had not too long ago, Beth, talked about, you can set up a consultation. Even if you're not ready to hire an accountant just yet, you can set up a consultation and go and sit down with them and say, hey, this is my business. This is what I'm trying to do. What do I need to do right now to put myself in the best position as it relates to my accounting until I can bring someone on? And then just do what they say. Again, the platform itself, I believe, is just a preference thing. If you're a service-based business and you do invoicing a lot, that's a fee. Just having a software that makes it easy for you to do that is helpful. So just choose whatever platform allows you to keep the most detailed and accurate records. And of course, one that is affordable and reasonable. This next question says, do you consider yourself a pioneer in the faith based business podcast arena? I've noticed an influx in podcasts that cater to similar demographics, and I believe that you've opened this door, or at least exposed it to a larger audience. Well, thank you, first of all. And to answer the question, yeah, absolutely. Because when God told me to do the podcast this way, I couldn't find anything that compared. And I've met people over the years, people who have major platforms, who have said, like, you know, you're listening to your show has helped me to be a bit more unapologetic in talking about God on my show and incorporating my faith into my business. So I definitely do think that I pioneered in this space, but it's not necessarily something I think about, really. I just focus on what God needs me to do, and then that's that. I'm grateful, of course. Like, I'm in awe. I met someone recently at dinner the other day. I was having dinner with a group that were coming to our podcast retreat. So we always do dinner the first day. And when I first got there, before the group got there, she came up to me and was like, "You're Tatum." So she recognized my husband first. And then she was like, "You're Tatum. I listen to your podcast." And I was like, "Oh, thank you so much for listening to the podcast." And she was like, "You answered my question back in 2019. And I started laughing. I said, "What did I say?" She was like, "You told me that you weren't going to answer the question and that I needed to just go to God." And me and my husband and my sister with me, we started busting out laughing. It was like, yeah, that sounded about right. But she just thanked me, and she was very, very nice. And it was a very cool moment, especially with her telling me my answer, because I'm like, child, that sounds exactly like something that I'm sure I've said. And so I'm definitely humbled and honored by what God has done. But again, it's not necessarily something that I think about, because I just want to do what God has called me to do, man. I just want my well done. That's it. That's really it. I could care less about anything else but that well done. But I wanted to answer this on the podcast specifically, because usually I would just respond and say thank you to something like this. But I brought it here because there are some of you guys who are listening that God is calling to pioneer some things, and you've been procrastinating on it. You've been hesitant to do it. You've been beating yourself up because nobody's doing this. This isn't the popular thing. This isn't how it usually goes. God, why do I have to do this? And so you're letting the loneliness of it, you're letting the overthinking, you're letting the doubt stop you from boldly going after what God is calling you to do and how he's calling you to pioneer something. Somebody has to do it first. And so instead of looking at how disqualified you are, look at what an honor it is for God to deem you, this imperfect person, to be used for such a magnitude. When God told me to change this podcast over to doing it by myself, to talking about making God the CEO, I responded to him with so much hesitation and doubt. I was like, God, who am I to get on this platform and to be talking about you? You're not supposed to mix faith and business. I went to college. Everything that I learned is all about you keep politics and you keep your religion outside of business. So how am I going to merge two things that are traditionally supposed to be kept separate. And furthermore, why I got to do it? Straight up, like, God, why do I have to do it? I don't know anybody else that's doing this. I feel insecure when I come on a microphone. I feel unqualified. I feel like I don't know the Bible well enough to be talking about you. I don't have the perfect past. I didn't grow up in church. I didn't always live righteously. I'm just out here figuring things out. Why do I got to talk to other people about it? These were the things that was going through my mind and that I would say out loud. But I had to obey and do what God was calling me to do anyway, because I had made a decision that I was going to give my life to Christ and I was going to truly follow his plan for my life. And I meant it. And so in doing that, to now look back, because it's been about 5 years since we made that change, looking back on what has happened over the last 5 years, and not just what God has done in my platform, but like the person who wrote this question is saying, the influx of individuals who are now talking about faith and business and who are now spreading the good news on their podcast. Like, I don't look at this as something to fuel my ego of like, I started this. I'm one of the ones who pioneered this. No, I count it as something that is an honor. Like, yes. Now more people are able to communicate this message. People that I may not have reached, somebody else is able to reach, or I can plant a seed and then they can water it. The more people spreading the good news, the more people that we reach. How many people are we going to win for the kingdom of God? How many folks that may be bound by greed and money and the worldview of success are now going to be converted over to doing business God's way, to where not only are they going to fulfill the calling and purpose on their life, but they're going to save their souls. Like that, I get so much joy from that. And again, many of you, God is calling to pioneer some stuff. And we're in this influencer culture where everybody's oversharing everything. Nobody's really talking about nothing. Or you may get distracted by what may be trending today, not trending tomorrow. And it's psyching you out. It's a distraction and it's psyching you out. And I just wanted to bring this question on here to segue into those who God is calling to pioneer something. This is your permission slip to just do it, to jump. Look at this platform and what God has done and allow it to fuel your faith in what he will do for you. Because all of the things that you're feeling, I felt it for sure. I still feel it sometimes. I'm like, God, can you please get somebody else to do it? Sometimes I still go back to that place, but it's never going to stop me. It's never for sure going to cause me to be muted in any type of way. So yeah, I know I'm answering questions and some people asking me about me, but I'm going to flip this back on you that's listening. Whatever God is calling you to do and whatever he's calling you to pioneer, give him your yes. There's a reason why he wanted me to answer this question in particular and to use it to remind you to do the thing he's calling you to do, even if you feel alone, even if no one else is doing it, even if you feel unqualified, do it anyway. And I'm gonna go ahead and just end this here. I'll do some other questions. There was another one that I got often about hearing God's voice and knowing when it's his voice to follow and things like that. I got that question often. So I'm gonna answer all of those in one message on the next bonus episode. But thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of the podcast. Share with someone who needs to hear it. I love you guys, and I'll talk to you next week.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.